I just posted it for no reason. Like, it was, I had no intention for it to do anything. And then my cousin sent me a screenshot of the video on his For You page. And it was like, "Is this your car?" So I looked, and it was at like 13,000 views. And I was like hyped because I had never gotten 13,000 views on really anything. It was nothing like I was ever used to. Like, now 13,000 views is like low for a video. But for then, I was like freaking out. Because I think from that one video, I got like 5,000 followers. Then I kind of just was not really sure how to continue with that because I had never done social media. So it took me some time.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to My Social Life. This is the podcast where we learn how to grow on social media by talking to people that have actually done it. As always, today's podcast is powered by TrueFan. And before we get into today's conversation with Brandon Kokash, there's a couple things that we need to go over first. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to leave us a positive rating and review. Share this episode with a friend and subscribe to the show. Put out brand new interviews every single Tuesday, and a brand new takeaways episode is an audio exclusive where I sit down and break down the most recent podcast episode of the week every single Thursday. Now, today on the podcast, we are joined by Brandon Kokash, who goes by at tesla.flex on TikTok. He has over 2.1 million followers, and I cannot be more excited to have him here on the podcast today to learn how he did it. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where I want to start with you today, man, I want to know, who was Brandon before TikTok?
Well, would you say before even Tesla?
Yeah.
Because Tesla kind of led to me going into TikTok. Before Tesla, I've always like loved technology. Like, I took my family computer apart when I was in like sixth grade, broke it, lost some pictures. But besides that, like, just kind of really like technology. I've always wanted like the best technology. So Tesla was obviously intriguing. When it came out, I think when the Model S came out, I wanted to get one really bad, but they were expensive then, and they're still expensive. Like, yeah, I can't say they're not expensive, but a lot of it was, I like technology a lot, like video games, like anything really with the internet. Like, I was trying to go on Wi-Fi on my like Nintendo DS. Like, I always like kind of looked bored because I just found that technology was cool. I also like, obviously stuck forks and outlets and stuff when I was like a toddler and stuff. So stuff that led there. I used to take like toys apart and like just see how they worked just because I wanted to know. So yeah, I also really like economic stuff. Like, that was my major in college, and I graduated in May. But yeah, so I like understanding how stuff works.
Yeah. And then, so before getting the TikTok, before going on, or before going, getting the Tesla, sorry, and going on TikTok, did you have any intention or expectation of trying to grow a personal brand or a following on any platform? Was that something that interested you or not really?
It interested me for a while. I remember I used to, like, I think when I was a sophomore in high school, I think I wanted to like make a Minecraft YouTube channel just because I liked Minecraft at the time. And then like I wanted to eventually, I tried to do like a drone Instagram page. Like, I tried a bunch of different things, and I never really meant to go on TikTok. I didn't even buy the Tesla for TikTok. I just bought it because I thought it was cool. But like, I definitely like, it was definitely something I wanted to do. I just wasn't sure how to do it because I really didn't know where to start. And even when I started, I didn't know what I was doing.
And so with the Tesla, because that's obviously a big part of the TikTok and starting and figuring out what you were doing, you didn't even have intentions of buying the Tesla initially, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, you went and just took it for a test drive or something, but after you were like, oh man, I need a Tesla now.
Yeah, so I got curious about it because I knew they had like the standard range one when that was like a whole thing in 2019, when they had like five different trims for the Model 3. I was like, oh, I'll just get the standard range. Like, it's a Tesla. I just want a Tesla. So, I really wouldn't have been able to make it work if it wasn't for this like project I did for my econometrics class, where I did an econometric analysis on like basically the viability of an electric car, and I used that to convince my dad like to let me, because obviously like he had to make that decision for me to even let me, because man, if I was honestly no place to buy it, but like I don't know if it was really an impulse buy, but I took my dad on the test drive and convinced him, and he like let me do it. Like, yeah, sadly I have to pay for it, and I've always paid for my Teslas, sadly. But I said I didn't have to pay for it.
Tesla's plural. So you're on to your third one now?
No, I'm on my fourth one now.
Fourth. And most of the, especially like the more recent ones, those have been paid through your content on social, right? Like everything you've built towards has led you to buy those extra, those other ones?
Yeah, because the first one was the Standard Range Plus, and I had like a few viral videos with that one, but I wasn't even, like I didn't buy that to make videos. And then when I started making videos with it, I kind of realized, well, I didn't realize because of making videos, I was actually doing a DoorDash order because that's how I was like making a lot of money to pay for it. And I got stuck like in front of someone's house after I dropped the order off because it was rear-wheel drive. So luckily the guy was just getting home and he helped me shovel my tires out because they were stuck. So I went home and I started looking at the long range all-wheel drive Model 3 because like I was kind of thinking like, if I'm going to have a Tesla long-term, I can't do that in Colorado with rear-wheel drive. Like I could get snow tires, but all-wheel drive is just kind of superior. And like most cars have that now. So I got that. That was the white one. And that was probably the second most popular Tesla on my account because I went from like 300,000 to like 900,000 with the white Model 3. And I actually, I think that was the one I had the longest, just barely. Because the first one, I got the second Model 3 in January 2020. And then I got the first Model 3 in April 2019, like at the very end. And then, see, the Model Y, that one was definitely, I didn't need it. I didn't really actually want it. I just saw an opportunity that there was no Model Ys on social media. A ton of Model 3s.
That's interesting. I never would have considered that the make and model of the Tesla would impact kind of the performance of the videos.
Yeah. I mean, I've always kind of known like the Model Y is the most popular Tesla. It's going to outsell every other Tesla combined. And even Elon Musk said that just because like it's a pretty popular size for cars, especially in the US. People like big cars. So they sold all their Model 3s they needed to like really like start ramping up on other stuff. But like the Model Y is, that's the winner. And I know like, that's, I think most of my referrals were Model Ys too.
And then, so how long from the first Tesla that you bought, how long did it take you from wanting to make videos about it to actually starting?
So I got the first one and I'd take videos on my phone just because I thought it was cool, but I never had any intention to ever post them. I just took them like on Snapchat or something and I just would save it. I didn't even intend to even go into social media, honestly. Like, I got bored at the end of summer, and I saw this video. It was like a trend at the time with the Polo G song, and I saw this like person do it with, I think they like hit the taillight with like the gas nozzle, and I was like, oh, like I can do that. So I didn't even like save the sound. I like screenshotted it, so I have like a screenshot of the sound from like the day before I did it. It was like 1 a.m. or something. And then the next day, like I like had to run some errands, but then I was like, oh, I can make the video now. So I just like made the video like one try, and then I posted it, and then I made the name Model 3 Flex. And then I just didn't really look like, I just didn't really care to like, even pay attention to it because I wasn't expecting anything. I just posted it because like, I just posted it for no reason. Like it was, I had no intention for it to do anything. And then my cousin sent me a screenshot of the video on his For You page. And it was like, is this your car in your garage? So I looked and it was at like 13,000 views. And I was like hyped because I had never gotten 13,000 views on really anything. It was nothing like I was ever used to. Like now 13,000 views is like low for a video. But for then I was like freaking out. Because I think from that one video, I got like 5,000 followers. And then I kind of just was not really sure how to continue with that because I had never done social media. So it took me some time.
Do you keep that perspective of the fact that that first video, 13K, was a crazy number for you? And now, just over 2 years later, 13K would be like a bad video for you? Like, do you ever sit and think about that and kind of keep that in perspective when a video now does poorly, that you're like, man, if you told me when I started that my bad videos are what they are, I'd be excited.
Yeah, I definitely have that. Because I think, like, even now, like, if a video doesn't pass 100K, then to me, it's kind of dead video. Because I'll post a video and it will take, and it, like, there's some that will just like blow up immediately. Like, I've had some videos that have gotten, I think my quickest growing video was last year, was the test mat video. That one had like 15 million views within 24 hours. And it was like a super big one. Like the one that you see on the For You page that just has like millions of likes and everyone comments and shares it. There's that one. But then like my very first one, like I think by the end of the first day, I had 250,000 views. So that was like, that was insane, because I was like refreshing, because it just like was so cool to see the likes roll in. But now it's like, I have notifications turned off.
I can imagine. Like, I posted a TikTok the other day that's only got, it's got 40,000 views, which is a lot for me. But like, I even turned my notifications off because it was literally like every minute I get another like. Like, it's just trickling in still. And it's like not even that many views comparatively. So I can only imagine what your notifications would be like if you left them on. But when you post that first video and it does super well, you get 250,000 views. Is there pressure then to follow that up and hope that the second video does just as well? Like, are you like, man, I don't want to post another video that gets like 5,000 views and the first one got 250?
There's definitely a lot of pressure, because with TikTok, if you post your first video and it's pretty good quality, it's going to blow up. They push. That's what TikTok, I don't really know if anyone knows this, but like, they really will push your first video to kind of get you hooked on trying to make content. Because if there's one thing that they want, it's they don't want to pay to like, they don't want to like have to invest money to make a content creator. So they just will give them a push organically. And if they hit the right niche, then they'll probably like do well. And I guess I just hit a pretty broad one. Like, I was probably like the second Tesla TikToker. I'm friends with the first one. He like does like all stuff on Twitter and stuff now, but like he helped me a lot too.
How did he help you?
Well, I think I made my account, and then like a month and a half later, he like followed me, and he had like 500,000 followers. So I was like pretty excited about that. I was like, oh, like it's cool. And then just he kind of would help me out. Like, I would just ask questions, and like he just kind of knew stuff. But then I met one of my other friends who I've been friends with for over 2 years, James. He had like 300,000 followers. I was like almost 3 million, but he followed me, and I was like so excited because he followed me, like commented on my video. So I was like freaking out. I had like 7,000 followers. And then eventually, like, he would text me. Like, I'd send him a video, like, is this good or something? And he actually, like, I made my fourth biggest video. That was one of a sound of another friend. He made the video before, but I just used his sound. And that video got like 20 million views. And I think I made it, and my friend was like, yeah, just post it, it'll go viral. And I was like, okay. And then I posted it, and like that video brought me from like 70,000 followers to like 250. And then I kind of just fell off for a few months. Because at the same time, I was trying to juggle school. So it was really hard. And I was like also doing at the time, like kind of hard classes. It was my junior year. So I didn't have much time to focus, because I was also working at Noodles Company at first, like junior year, the whole year I was working. So I didn't really have that much time to go and make videos like I do now. But I think honestly, like the only really good thing that I've gotten out of COVID is it gave me a lot more time, especially like last year, to make videos, because I was taking 12 credits post semesters, and they were just like easy classes. I took a class about health and exercise science that I just could. I got to the point where I actually had the time that I could do that.
And so are you creating full time now? Like your full time job is TikTok? Is that crazy to you?
I never would have expected it, because honestly, like it just doesn't, like to 99% of people that see social media, they don't really think that they could do that as a job. And it's really hard. Like, I think the biggest thing is a lot of people expect results like almost immediately. And if they don't get it, then they just get discouraged. but you kind of have to get over that because nothing happens overnight. Like, literally, I didn't make any money on TikTok or even a considerable amount of money until June 2020. So it was like 9 months, over 9 months.
But even though you're not making money, I'm assuming your account's growing pretty consistently during that period. So that probably motivates you to keep going, even though you don't have money coming in, right?
Yeah. Well, for some time, like, it was growing like decently. Like, I almost quit in November 2019. I had like 25,000 followers, and I just was like, I didn't know exactly what to do because it was really only like me making content at that point. So once TikTok realized that, and actually I used to just try to make like other random videos that maybe didn't fit Tesla, but once I started making only Tesla videos, like, it just kind of started blowing up. Like, I had 3 or 4 videos blow up in a row, and for me that was like insane because I was maybe getting like one every week or two. So it just started speeding up, and then December, I hit 50,000 on December 1st, and then by the end of December, I was at like 200,000-ish. So it was pretty big growth, and I really didn't know how to handle that. And at the same time, like, I was home for the whole time I was doing that for Christmas. So I went back to Fort Collins, and it was like a whole different thing. Like, my whole perception on everything has changed.
And it changed in a good way or a bad way?
Definitely in a good way, because it kind of made me like see what I actually wanted instead of just like, don't get me wrong, I love working. I love the people in the noodles and company and the food service and stuff, but it's like really not. There's a point when working there just kind of isn't worth it anymore. And I knew like when I graduated, I was hopefully not going to work at Noodles. And my goal was to quit, quit at Noodles by the time I graduated, just so I didn't have to like think about relying on Noodles. So I did that, but it just changed my perception on like social media too, because I used to scroll through Instagram all the time, like send memes to people, do that stuff. Like, and then I kind of realized it just isn't, I just didn't benefit that much from it. So like, I'll scroll through TikTok if I have like nothing at all to do. But a lot of the time I'm on TikTok, it's me making a video, editing a video, getting ideas, like commenting on stuff, finding videos to make videos with. So it's definitely changed.
Let's kind of explore that whole process of how you create a TikTok and the whole from like kind of beginning to end. But kind of before that, like, what's your posting schedule right now? Like, how often are you posting? Is it every day, twice a day, 3 times a day, every other day? Like, what's it look like right now for you?
I post every single day, usually at least once a day. There's never a day where I don't post. I haven't, because there, I posted every single day from like April 2020 to May 31st, 2021. And then after that, I took a month break in June just because needed that, because I like, there was just a lot going on in my life, just graduated with a bunch of other stuff. So I took that month off. So it was like, honestly, it felt weird when I didn't post that first day, because I was so used to posting every single day and I had videos and everything ready to post. It was like curbing an addiction. Like, you like want a quick post, and I had the videos and everything, but I knew like I needed to get out of that rhythm for a little bit to like relax with other things. But yeah, now I post at least once a day, usually twice, like a 12 and 6, just because it doesn't even matter when I really post. I just do it because it gives me an expectation for myself that I have to post at 12 and 6 every day instead of just like, oh, I could post right now. So I just post at those exact times. And then if I do, I could do like 3 or 4 posts a day. It just really depends, because I'm to the point where I want all my content to be high quality, so I have to like put more time into it. And like, I could go out in my car for 6 hours and end up with maybe 3 videos now. And that's just because like, I do get distracted sometimes in my car too, because like, there's a lot of stuff going on in my car. Like, I could make a video and be like, oh, I want to listen to some music, or like just find something random to do, or like get ideas, or I'll get like halfway through a video and I'll realize I can't make the rest of it because I forgot something, or like something isn't working. So it's gotten a lot harder, but also easier.
there's a couple questions I have there. First off, when you came back from that break after a month off, did your account suffer negatively, or were you kind of able to pick up where you left off?
So that was weird because it actually, like, it was like it never skipped a beat. But that was also because I had a video that it was almost the last video I posted since I took a break. It was like some care and lock video. It was literally just a charging lock that goes on the adapter. And I made that video and it got like 3 million views in the first day. So I was like, okay, like that's pretty normal, like what I've been getting recently. So I honestly didn't think much of it. And then throughout June, there was days when I go up, it would just go up 3 million views. And then it got to a point, it was near the end of my vacation and it was like exploding. Like I got like 200,000 followers from that one video and I got 28 million views. So it carried my views for all of June. I only got like 30 million views in June, which is like, that was like my goal to have like last year. I wanted to be at like minimum 30 million. And now my goal is like minimum 60.
Per month?
Yeah. I'm usually past, like I had 80 million views and October was my highest viewed month ever I had 80 million views. And November is not far behind.
But you said also that when you were kind of talking about your schedule, that creating the content's gotten easier, but it's also gotten harder. So I'm curious for both those two things, how has it gotten easier and how has it gotten harder?
Well, it's gotten harder just because like, I don't want to like remake the same video like 10 times. Like I can remake it a few times just and do it differently. Like I've done the same series 3 times and this time it's been doing a lot better, but like I have to just change stuff up. And so I'm like really the only original Tesla content creator. There's other ones out there, but they tend to follow my footsteps, like even down to the car, the wrap, the tiny things, which is surprising, but that's how it's gotten harder. And it's gotten easier because I know what works and I know like what to do and what not to do. Definitely can't say that because there's a lot of the competition. There's people that are trying to compete now and that's usually like the YouTubers. I see a lot of YouTubers that try to go on TikTok now and honestly, they don't know what they're doing. And it's like kind of weird, but it's kind of interesting to see because they're going from a platform that they're probably successful on, or like it's just a pretty common thing for people to try to do social media with their Tesla now. And I don't want to like really take credit for that, but like I know Tesla YouTube was a thing, but like people are literally buying Teslas and posting on TikTok and using the hashtag that I made to like just track my own views. Like I made the hashtag Tesla Talk. I made that hashtag and it had 0 views. And now it has like almost 1 billion views. And not all those videos are mine, but I'd say like the grand majority of them are mine because that's the hashtag I put on every single video. So I do find that kind of weird that like I just made that hashtag to track my own views and it turned into a thing where any person that has a Tesla that makes a video on TikTok, they'll use hashtag Tesla Talk. It's like tech talk, any kind of talk.
Yeah. Well, they just see the views of your hashtag going up. So they figure that's a hashtag they got to jump on.
Yeah. And it's like, that was just a way for me to track views. Like I've always done that. Like I've always had like a specific hashtag I was using to track my views or something. Like I would change like every month or something, but now it's like I can't even do that because people are using the hashtag too. They're like, I have the top videos in it and then there's some videos behind it that are also pretty high, and those are usually one-offs. But then you have the Tesla people that get like a one-off video that does well, so they'll think that they have a shot. And I don't know if that sounds like me in saying that, but it's pretty impossible to get like 2 million followers now on like TikTok, even with the Tesla, just because it like now it's so much harder to get to start a following. Like it's pretty easy for me to grow now because I already have a big base, but for someone to start from zero is pretty difficult.
Where do you go to get inspiration for your content? Because like one, you say you don't want to reuse your content. Now there's all these other competitors in the space. So you have to keep coming up with these new ideas for your videos. Like you said, sometimes it's just sitting in your car and thinking about it, but like, how do you come up with new ideas?
So I could either base it off of a trend or like, honestly, some of my videos, I've kind of started to do more satire and some people have realized it. Some people haven't, because some of my videos, they're like obviously satire. And there was, I think, one I did where it was like a it's like from my Tesla tip series. And I was talking about, oh, you don't have to use a wireless charger to charge your phone. Just use a cord. And it's like literally like the most obvious thing ever. But that's the whole point of the series, is like it's pointing at the most obvious thing. So, I mean, even just coming up with ideas, like I could base it off of an old series, because at any time I have like 6 or 7 different series going on. Like, it's not really a thing. Like, I do take time. I take like probably 1 day a week. I'll just sit down and I'll think of ideas, and it could be like anything. Like, when I started doing the spill videos on my Model Y, that was a huge thing, because the very first one was actually from one of my friends, Cody. I think he deleted his account just because he has like Mormon stuff and doing all that. But he like made a spill video on a shared account, and it was like high C fruit punch from Chick-fil-A or something, and it blew up. So I kind of based a whole series off of that, because his was just like a one-off. Like, oh no, I spilled like fruit punch in my seats. Like, good thing the seats are polyurethane and they're easy to clean. And mine just turned into a whole different series. And I think that hashtag alone has like 80 million views on my Tesla spill hashtag. And like, I'm at the point considering buying a Model 3 with white seats just to do more spill videos, because I can't spill stuff in my seats on my Model S or X anymore because there's holes in them.
Have you noticed that? That series has worked, but have you noticed consistently like the effectiveness of series? Like, do they tend to perform better than standalone content? And have you seen people follow you more because they know you're doing these series consistently?
I think doing a series definitely helps, but also like it also can't be like a series. Like, you can't force yourself into doing a series, because if you like try to like split up a whole thing into a bunch of videos, like it's gonna be obvious. Like, I think the biggest thing is like when the series start to get near the higher end episodes, like above like 5, that's when people really start to take notice. It's like, wow, there's like 5 other parts, and then they watch and they go look for the other parts. And I mean, honestly, like standalone videos, they sometimes still do a lot better. Like, I'll make a video of me putting wiper fluid in my car, and I'll spill a little bit, or I'll do something slightly wrong, and people will get mad. Like, I spilled wiper fluid. I think I did that on the, someone asked how I filled up wiper fluid in June or May 2020. So I made a video. They're like, please, I beg you, just show how to fill up wiper fluid. So I just didn't even talk in it. I opened the trunk, put the wiper fluid in. I spilled a little bit on accident. And then people got like, they got some, like, oh, you need a funnel. So I did the same video with the funnel, but I still spilled it. And like, that kind of turned into a series. And then I think I started to realize like that I liked doing series when it was summer 2020 when I started to realize that. But it's honestly like really hard to keep up with the series. Like, I have to be really organized with them, and like, I don't like repeating the same thing. Like, if I'm doing a specific like video series where I'm like saying like some feature or something, I don't want to say it like twice. So I just keep track of that. But I don't know, like, series don't work for everyone, because you have to really be able to like maintain a base.
And you almost have to like wait and see what your community reacts to and turn that into a series. Like, you can't predict a series beforehand, is what I'm hearing, right? Like, you kind of have to wait and see what your audience latches onto, and then just double down on that and turn that into a series.
A lot of people don't like trying new things. They're afraid.
That's a good point. And then those series is just like a comfortable thing for them.
I think I got to a point one time where I used to only like, because I think TikTok announced like the reply to comment with the video feature, and that was like April 2020. So I was doing that like from the moment that it was available, because it was perfect for Tesla. People could ask a question, I could directly reply to the question with the video. It was perfect. And I got kind of complacent doing that. And like, then I was like, oh, this isn't really like that original of content. Like, it's pretty low quality. Like, I could do better. So in like February, I started doing better.
You've mentioned that word a couple of times, low quality and high quality. So what to you makes a high quality video?
High quality, it depends. Because honestly, like, just recording the right way, like, you have to like make it concise, clear, have a beginning and an end. It's just like kind of stuff you might even learn in an English class. Like, how to write a paragraph or something. Like, I feel like anyone that's good at like writing stuff, like just writing, or like that knows how to have some kind of storyline, like they can do pretty well.
Interesting. So you're saying quality, not necessarily from a like a visual perspective, but from like a content, like the video itself, like not the quality of the camera is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, the quality of the camera plays into it, but like, obviously if you're recording a TikTok from an iPhone 8, it's going to look a lot different than if it's recorded on the newest iPhone with the best cameras. So definitely you need the highest quality cameras, especially for like social media, because it's going to get like, it's the quality is going to drop no matter what. Like, it's going to get saved. It's going to get reposted. It's going to get saved. It's just a constant loop. So like, you got the high quality camera is definitely like important. Like, if you don't have that, like that's probably a pretty big reason why it's not going well.
But bring me back then to how you were saying with the videos, they need a beginning, a middle, and end, kind of like when you're in elementary school learning to write a paragraph for the first time. So kind of with that in mind, then, do you script your videos? Like, before you sit down to film, do you try and write out like what you're going to say and like how it all ties together, how it's the beginning, middle, and end?
Honestly, like, I usually just go off the idea, and then while I'm doing it, I'll think of, or I'll like figure out like, oh, I could say this then. And so I do a lot of voiceover videos because they just work for me. But I kind of noticed like voiceover videos don't really work for that many people, just because like, I think it's all about knowing how to use the beginning, middle, and end to your advantage, because people like seeing the end, like they like going to the end of the video. They're not going to watch the whole video if they don't know there's an end to it. If they want to know the ending, they're going to watch the whole video.
Can you give me like just one example of one of your videos, like how you do that structurally, like just so the person listening to this kind of gets an idea of like how they could apply a similar thing to their videos?
So my Tesla lock videos, it's like where I progressively lock more stuff in the car, and then I unlock it with something. And it's like the first video was like, if the key fob gets locked in, or the key card gets locked in, unlock the card with the key fob. But what if the key fob gets locked in? Okay, you use a phone. What if the phone, key fob, and card get locked in? Okay, use an iPad mini and then an iPad Pro. And then like, they're like, wait, we have everything. No, pulls out a Google Home and unlocks it with Google. But then I lock that in and I'm unlocking with a computer. And then it just like, I'm adding more and more stuff, and they're waiting to see at the end if I can unlock it. Which when I make the video, like it really like depends on how far I've got, because I've gotten pretty far into this one because I'm only posting one a week. And also timing, like I could have done this where I could have like made the video, a new video every single day for it, but I didn't, because I've just learned that like you wouldn't chug an orange juice or like an apple juice or something, or you wouldn't chug a bottle of vodka or something. I don't know. You wouldn't chug something you like.
Hope not.
Yeah. You wouldn't chug something you like, you enjoy it. So it's like a lot about pacing.
Okay. So it's kind of like, with that, the lock video specifically, it's kind of like you set it up by showing them what's in the car and what's locked. And then the middle is you trying to unlock it. And then the end is the payoff of you finally getting it unlocked with that other device, right? That's kind of how you set that up. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. But you don't script them, eh? They're all just kind of off the top of the head. You just kind of figure it out as like you have the idea, and then you just go from there.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of like, I'd say for probably sponsored videos, I script it because I have to. But like, if it's like just my own video, then I can usually do it pretty easily. And like, my videos look like they could be pretty easy to make. But I think anyone that tries, they probably realize that it's not easy at all. I've done voiceovers with my friends in the car, and I'm like, okay, hold on, I'm like, be quiet, and they're just like watching me mess up like 20 times just to get like a few words in or something. Like, it takes a long time. It looks like some of my videos look so easy to make, and some of them are, like, I can make them in like less than a minute. It just depends what it is. But then there's ones that take me an hour because maybe I had to retake all the videos because I didn't like the lighting, or I had to redo the whole voiceover because the very beginning part was cut off. It gets difficult.
Yeah, no kidding. And so when you post a video, then you've spent all the time to make the video, you may go and reshot it because you don't like the lighting, you got the voiceover correct, you're going to post it now. Can you tell when a video is going to do well after you post it? Like, is there something you look for in the first little while to see like how the engagement is, to know if this video is going to go viral?
I don't know. I mean, It really depends, because there's like some videos I'll know like that will 100% go viral, but there's also some that's like I just don't look. And I'd say for like it really, I can't really give an exact answer because it really is based on your following, and like it's kind of, you have to track it a little bit. Like I think I used to hope for like 100 views a minute after, if it was like 6,000 views in an hour, then that was good for me. But now it's like, I know a video is going to do well for me if it's past 20,000 views in 30 minutes.
And what leads to a video? Like, what do you think is required from that video for it to get to 20,000 views in 30 minutes? Is it like a certain amount of watch time? Is it a certain amount of like a percentage of engagement or something like that? Like, are there any other metrics that you know result in the video performing well?
I think it's a lot of the watch time. Just, I mean, you can have a bunch of comments, you can have a high like ratio, but it's a watch time. Like, people will watch it. People watch a video for a long time. Like, it's hard also for me to completely understand, because I don't, like, I understand a lot of the, like, producing side of TikTok, but, like, I don't really think that much about, like, how people, like, will literally just sit on their phone for hours and hours and hours on end and just watch TikToks. Like, that does not seem normal for me. Like, I don't do that. So, like, I forget that that's, like, the majority of the platform. It's 92% of the platform. They're all consuming the content. And only 8% of people are creating.
I didn't know that stat. That's crazy.
Yeah, I probably can find the source of that. But I think that's what my friend, one of my friends that used to work for the 10th biggest TikToker told me that. It's, like, 92% of people are just consuming it. And that's like every single platform too. Like, if you look at Instagram, they're trying to push reels really hard right now, and they're starting to try to find like the right way to do it. But you can see like all the other platforms, they're changing because of TikTok.
Are you doing anything on any other platforms? Like, I know you've got your Instagram, you're posting there as well. Is that your other main platform, or is there any other ones you're posting on?
I also post YouTube Shorts. The thing with YouTube Shorts is a lot of videos on there are stolen, and for a while, it was a lot of my videos that were stolen. And then some of my friends in LA were sending me them like, hey, like, why aren't you posting shorts? These people are just posting your shorts. So I have taken down over 500 videos that were stolen. And YouTube, like, they don't mess around with that. Like, I could submit the copyright claim with a direct link to my TikTok. Someone is going on there and they're clicking and they're seeing that the videos are identical, and they take down that other video. So, like, honestly, anyone that reposts my videos, like, I'll find them. And if they post enough, like, their whole account gets taken down. Like, there's accounts that have grown to, like, 40,000 subscribers because they're posting my videos. Like, I've had accounts that were posting my videos. Like, as soon as I posted on TikTok, they downloaded it and they posted on Shorts. So, once I got control of that, I've done well. I think I have, like, 8,000 subscribers on YouTube. So, nothing that crazy, but...
Yeah, and it's just all Shorts? Just taking your TikToks and posting them there?
Yeah, I'm in February 2021 right now with my shorts, because I started from the beginning, and I even skipped a bunch of Model 3 videos. But yeah, shorts was kind of the annoying one to get into, because I had to do a lot of extra work on the front end, especially with like deleting a bunch of videos people took of mine and finding those videos too. The really easy way was to look on my own like shorts page, because I guess people watch shorts too, and I had to just like go on there, like, oh, like they put, this is my video. I go on their account and they have like 20 other videos that are mine. They're like, okay, easy copyright claim. Like, the form is so annoying to do, but it's worth it.
And you also have another TikTok account, right? Team Tesla, is that, that's your other account?
Yeah, I have 2 TikTok accounts, 3 Instagram accounts, Snapchat, YouTube, and soon to be YouTube, 2 YouTube accounts for my long form videos.
What are you doing on Snapchat? Is that just kind of like stories and stuff, or what's your strategy?
Spotlight. I've been doing that since February, and that actually made me a lot of money. Like, top 250 earners from Spotlight out of 5,000.
So for the Spotlight, then, is that just post similar thing, taking your TikTok and posting it on Snapchat?
No. So Spotlight was, we had to do, me and my friends did it. I didn't make as much as him, but we made a lot on there. Just, we literally had to make spotlights every single day. Like, now it's a lot different, and I'm sworn to this person I can't say the formula for it because he asked me not to. But when I was doing it then, it was, you had to post a lot every day. And then, like, I know it was another thing is being able to delay gratification because obviously you don't, the thing is we didn't know we were getting paid for like a month. So we get a video blow up, we just didn't know if we were getting paid for it. And then all of a sudden we get messages on Snapchat and it's like, oh, like you're eligible to earn this much money. And it went from like, I think my first payout was like $2,000. And I was like, I was so excited about that. Like I was hyped. But then I got ones that were like 10 times higher was the minimum one after that. Like just huge like amounts. It was like winning the lottery almost. But not being even taxed like a lottery, thank God. Just being taxed like regular income. But like insane amounts of money. Like literally IRL cheat code. Just because like the people that are making a lot of money from it were already established content creators. It was really not people that were like, there was people that maybe posted a funny video and those did well. They'd make some money off of that. But then after that, like really nothing else. Because it was like the content creators that really milked the system.
And has the opportunity passed on Snapchat now?
Because there was like a prize pool of $1 million a day for the top earnings, like spotlights. And for a while, so someone I know, Cam Casey, you probably heard of him. He's like the highest earner on Spotlight because they just kind of knew before, like they knew about it. They didn't tell anyone until like January. Because we found out in January. And then, like, it was like, if you knew in November and you were getting big videos in November, you were making so much. Like, when we were doing it, that was, like, a pretty competitive time, too. So the fact that we made that much money during February was insane. But now it's, like, millions per month. So it's, like, it's really, it's a lot harder to do. And it's really not worth it, in my opinion. Like, I really don't do them that much anymore.
And so now that you're making money, do you have a team or anything around you? Or is it just you posting, doing all your content and everything?
For now, it's just me doing my content. But, like, I'm working with, like, other, like, YouTubers and stuff. Like, just to kind of get more out there. And, like, I think I've done a pretty good job of also networking. Because I go to LA, like, once a month now. And I'm thinking about moving to LA, like sometime next year. So it's like, that's a big risk to take. And I think a lot of people start when they move to LA, they don't really like make enough to fully live there, but then just the opportunities they get from what they already have, like really help.
No, for sure. And so that's a next year thing you said?
Yeah, possibly. Like I try not to think about it. Cause like, I know I want to do it, but the more I think about it, just, it's like, I can't stop thinking about it. It's just stuck in me. I want to do it.
So what's stopping you from going?
Right now, it's just my lease I have. But like, and also with my Model S, like that was definitely an impulse buy. But it was like a good impulse buy, mainly just because I knew I could make content from it. And it just happened to be, I didn't have to wait at all. I didn't have to like wait for it to be made or something and delivered. Like it just happened to be there. So I got it picked up the next day. But like I ordered the Model X in July. So it's supposed to be here in January, hopefully. But if not, like I'm fine waiting an extra month or two. Or on, I honestly wait. But the latest I'd probably wait is like March. Because I know like all the shortages and stuff, but the Model X is, it's definitely not my last Tesla, but it's going to maybe be the one I have for more than a year.
And I'm curious how you build a community on TikTok, you know, because your videos are often going to people that don't follow you. They're going to people that do follow you. Like, how do you establish a rapport with your followers and your viewers?
So I like doing a lot of giveaways. They're also really complicated too, because no one ever told me giveaways were so complicated, especially like small, like the smaller giveaways too are almost the most complicated because like, usually I'm trying to work with a company and they don't really know how to use social media. So I'm like kind of doing all that. And then it's like, I have a lot of international followers too now. Like if I could, I did a test sometime in the end of October, maybe beginning of November. I posted a video at 11:40 PM which is like totally off peak. Like no one watches, no one's awake right now. That's 2 a.m. in like the East Coast. And when I woke up, I had 400,000 views because of my European audience.
And why do you, is it just the TikToks for you page and the algorithm that's allowed you to develop that? Like, how do you, how did you get such a big European audience? Like, was it just TikTok kind of pushing your videos out to European audience?
I think that, and like the videos I just didn't really talk much in, it allowed it to be pushed to like people that didn't speak English. And I'll, honestly, like Tesla is starting to like kind of like, Tesla's starting to kind of blow up in Europe now because of the Gigafactory in Berlin that's about to be finished. So people are starting to get more aware of them, because at first, like, if like you had to be like rich to get a Tesla in Europe, because it was, they're only made in the United States. But then you have Tesla, they have their factory in Shanghai, and it's they're pumping out more than 1,000 Model Ys a day, which is insane, because that's in addition to the Model 3. So they're at the point where they're they're shipping China made Model Ys and 3s to Europe. So it's taking a lot of the stress off the United States. So like Europe is getting their Tesla fixed now. So like you see all these like younger kids, and that's a lot of my audience is like probably 13 to 18 year olds. They're all like super, like they're usually like pretty smart. Like I have some arguments in my comments sometimes, and like I have a lot of really smart followers, tech. I have like all my followers are like super techie, because I guess like it makes sense because they like technology or they like electric cars, they just like that kind of stuff. So I think Europe has definitely got a lot bigger because they're getting more Teslas there and have the factory, so it's just gonna be more common around them.
How much time do you spend every day in your comments?
I'd say like 15 minutes at most, honestly. Like the biggest thing about comments on TikTok, and especially Instagram and YouTube, is I guess TikTok isn't really that bad, but like people will like shit on you in comments, like no matter where you are. Like there's always those people, and it's either because they're jealous, or they just like have, they just hate you for some reason, or they hate what you make the videos about for some reason. Someone is always like going to have something negative to say. And that's the thing, is there are some people that do not know how to handle negativity and hate. And it's very obvious, because they'll like post on their stories or something, and they'll be like, why am I getting all this hate? And like, be like all sad about it. But if you do that, then that's just like, it's like allowing more people to just be like, oh, it like, it gets his attention. I can just keep doing that. I can make them feel like shit if I, because like they're obviously not liking what I'm saying or what people are saying. So why don't I just jump in on that? So I think dealing with like comments, like I'll look at the comments and I'm looking for maybe a video idea, because people will be like, oh, do this horn on your Tesla or something. But then there's like obviously the negative one.
What's your advice to somebody on TikTok that's not getting a ton of views? Like, what's your advice to someone who wants to grow their TikTok account but has just had trouble doing that?
Post consistently, but not consistently, like not like too consistently. Like, don't force yourself to post just because you have to post. Like, if you don't have anything to post, then don't force it, because it's gonna be obvious if like it's not a high quality video, or like, honestly, like just having videos that are thought out are really what do well. And you can't make it too technical, because it's a 15-second video or like 30 seconds. Like I range from like 15 to 30, but I could do minute long videos, but it would just hit a way smaller audience. Like there's people that can get away with doing like minute videos. Like people that like cooking videos can do long ones, like ones that like you will actually be fully engaged with. But like you need to find really the right time, and that's like the right timing of the video.
And what about like, what do people get wrong about TikTok? Like, what do you see out there and you're like, man, people are doing this wrong. Like, that's not how you use TikTok.
They'll use the dumb trending hashtags. Like those like hashtags that pop up. It's like not, they use the, like when you like put the hashtag in, it's like these like ones that are promoted by TikTok, or they'll use a bunch of those, or they'll just use a crazy amount that are just like so unrelated for no reason. And like hashtags, like honestly, I don't like think hashtags fully work. They're just there. I just do it to track views and track other stuff, and like keep track of it for myself. So I don't know if like really hashtags have that much of a benefit, but the trending hashtags and like overdoing it with hashtags, that's like a no-no. Cause I see a lot of people do that.
who are some creators you see that are doing really cool shit on TikTok? Like, you see this creator, you're like, man, they're doing it right.
There's so many. I just gotta look because I usually probably follow them recently. There's this one guy, Cookie King. He like makes stuff that has to do with like Discord calls. So like, I just know like he is hitting like such a young audience, but they engage with every single one of his videos. Like, he has two million followers, and like every single one of his videos he posts gets like at least 1 million views. Like, he doesn't get verified at one point because it's like literally just like different scenarios like on Discord and like gaming stuff, and he has like a whole group of people he does stuff with. Another one, H1T1 John, he makes some amazing videos. Like, he has started so many trends, and just like, he's really like smart with trends and everything. And he doesn't have to even like do the trend. He'll just like talk about the trend, and that, and like, he has a whole audience that does stuff. Like, he did this thing where he went private on TikTok, and he like has like 1 million requests that he can't accept because he has to go one by one and click accept, even though he went public again.
I can't even imagine how long that would take to go through 1 million profiles and accept them all.
Well, on the only way that people could follow him after that is they had to block him and unblock him to follow him, because there was like a weird little glitch. Maybe they fixed it, but it was a weird glitch with the whole thing.
What would you do if you were to start from zero again tomorrow? How would you build it back up?
Well, I don't know. See, the thing is, I don't know if I want to do it again with Tesla, just because I know there's like other things that I could hit under, like other niches that just don't have maybe the best content and I could easily do better at. And like, I'm even doing that with some other stuff, but I can't talk about that. But like, something like what I would do differently if I was redoing the whole Tesla thing, I would set my expectations lower, because I think when I started, like, I had no expectations, but then I also like I thought 10,000 followers was a lot, and then I thought 25,000 was a lot. And honestly, like, I look at myself and I don't think 2 million is really a lot in the grand scheme of things, because there's a lot of accounts that have millions of followers. The followers don't even matter. It's the engagement. So I would definitely, I think one thing I would have changed if I was going to restart, and if I was, even if in the same time period, like when I did it, I would have just posted way more consistently. I would have posted a Tesla video every single day if I had known that that would benefit me now.
What's something about TikTok that only bigger creators know?
The creator fund is kind of a joke.
Okay. Why is that?
Because it, like, I think Zach King showed his, he has like 60 something million followers. He showed his creator fund thing, and he has only earned like 33,000 from it. And it's because they only, because TikTok only really pays for US views. Like, they'll pay a lot less for international views because it's the, I guess it's a US creator fund. But like, it's, you really don't benefit from it unless you have a high US audience and you have a lot of views. Like, I think 1 million views is about $30.
Oh, wow.
And that, well, and that's, yeah, and that's like pretty average. Like, you can get like 40, 45 for 1 million, but like, it's pretty low and it's not that great. So people think like, oh, I'll get 10,000 followers, 100,000 views in a month, joining the creator fund. Why am I not making money? Because they're not getting like tens to twenties. Like, at least I say to make anything considerable from the creator fund, you need to be getting like at least 30, 40 million views a month, 30 at minimum.
What do you have coming up next? Like, what's your long-term goal? What's the long-term plan? What do you got coming up?
I want to like really just do YouTube, because I know like there's a lot of Tesla YouTubers already, but without sounding like mean or rude, they're older. I mean, they're not even much older. There's some that are millennials, but like, they just, a lot of them don't understand like the right ways to connect with this generation and the generations below, because like, to them, like, they got their first phone when it was like a flip phone. My first phone was also like, it was like, it was still a slide phone, but now kids are getting their first phone, it's like an iPhone, it's like an iPhone 13, and like, it's like, that's like such a, it seems like an adult phone, because it used to be like an adult phone, because like iPhones and stuff, they used to be way more expensive. I mean, they're so expensive now, but like, besides that, like, phones used to be expensive and other phones used to be cheap. And like, you only saw like smartphones as like things that adults have, but now kids have smartphones. Kids have access to the internet. kids are watching it. There's all these iPad kids. They're in school, and my mom teaches some iPad kids. And honestly, I'm not going to have iPad kids. I'm going to have kids and not let them have their big iPads with the screen. Like, that's dumb. But, like, definitely YouTube long term. I want to have the Model X for at least a year. But honestly, I can't set my goal for that because the Model Y was supposed to be a car I had for 4 years. And then I think I realized one thing that I like do best is just like being able to like deal with change like immediately and even like force it on myself a little bit. Cause if I don't do that, then it's not going to like actually, like I won't be able to fully like change. I feel like let go of stuff too.
How often do you look back on this whole journey? You know, we're going all the way back to that kid that stuck like a fork in the outlet to where you are now on your fourth Tesla, soon to be fifth. You know, you have over 2.1 million followers on TikTok. You're expanding onto other platforms. Like, how often do you just look back on everything you've accomplished so far?
I look, like, honestly, like, if I'm having a bad day, I think I look back at that more often just because, like, it could be a day where it's like, I have videos that just do bad or something. I'm just like, well, I used to have that every single day. And it's like, I don't, even like, even a year ago, I was in a completely different position in my life. Like, I really didn't know what I was going to do after graduation. And it was like, I put my 2 weeks into Noodles, like in two weeks, it'll be 1 year since I quit Noodles. And even like since then, like I quit really just like thinking I'm going to do social media full time. I have like a semester to figure that out. I just want to be able to like cover the basic expenses. And then Spotlight came along and that started. And that really like put me at an advantage. Like there's no other Tesla content creators that made that much from Spotlight. I know that because I know some that were like, yeah, like I got like 400 views on one. I just didn't post because they weren't doing it right. And me and my friend were just like, yeah, it's not working anymore. but that was like in April. But it is weird to look back because like 6 months ago, I was just getting like, the money was just starting to go into my bank account. And that was, it didn't feel real. Like I couldn't even process it until a few months ago because it just is such an insane amount of money to get at once. And even then, like, I didn't let the money slow me down. Like I wanted to slow down, obviously. Like I was like, oh, I already made all this money. Like I have enough to pay off my car, blah, 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 like all this stuff. But I want it. Like I think I figured out that I do best when I'm actually, when I just keep working towards something.
That's awesome. And for the last question, I like to flip the script a little bit. So instead of me asking the question, it's you asking the question, but it's not to me. Pretend you have a crystal ball and you can ask this crystal ball any question. You'll get the 100% honest answer. What is one question you want to know the answer to?
How many people have been inspired? Like, I just want to know like how many people have been inspired to like start social media and stuff, or like literally have bought a Tesla just to do social media because of my videos.
That'd be a cool thing to find out.
I know a few.
No, that's awesome, man. I think that'd be such a cool thing to find out. And I'm sure you definitely have. You said you already know a few. I'm sure there's many more that have been impacted by what you're doing on TikTok. And speaking of that, for anyone that doesn't know, where can they find you on TikTok? I want to give you the floor now. Plug anything and everything you got.
My TikTok is all complicated because names and stuff are hard to get nowadays. But my name on TikTok is Tesla.flex. And then Instagram is the same thing, but with an extra X. And then YouTube is just Tesla Flex. And honestly, the name Tesla Flex is like, it seems like such a pompous name. It's like, ooh, like flexing, blah, blah, blah. But that's my fault on accident because when I made my account, I made Model 3 Flex. So I couldn't think of anything else. So I just had to kind of follow that. So that's like the whole brand now. And like people know that like what people like on Instagram know that it's not like a real thing. Like I'm not like literally, I'm not like one of those rich kids like trying to flex stuff on people. Like that's literally just the account name. But yeah, like Tesla Flex. I mean, my license plate actually on my car is gonna. I can't say it yet, but it's gonna be related to everything, and it's gonna be more broad. Cause I noticed once if I'm more broad, I do better. So Tesla Flex and all that stuff. I'm remaking my Discord server because I know Discord is a great thing to have because I want to also do Twitch streaming. So I have some ins with Twitch and stuff. Just got to do it, but I don't have to be related to Tesla. It's just a different thing I'm doing.
Awesome, man. I look forward to it. I know you said you're working on a second YouTube, Twitch. I'm looking forward to both those things. I'll make sure everything right now that's available is linked in the show notes down below so people can find you. That'll all be linked down there. But I want to thank you once again for taking time to come on the podcast. And I want to thank everybody for listening. Whether you've listened the entire way through my own list of bits and pieces, I really appreciate you taking time to check this out. Do me a big favor. Go and follow Brandon. I'll make sure Tesla Flex on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, everything. Like I said, linked in the show notes down below so you can find it. If you'd like to follow me, you can find me everywhere on social media at the Jacob Kelly. Feel free to come and say hello. My DMs are always open. As always, today's podcast is powered by True Fan. Thank you once again for listening. We'll talk soon.